Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of the podcast is presented exclusively by Hillsdale College. For over 175 years, four purposes have defined Hillsdale's mission: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Thank you for listening, and my sincere appreciation to our brothers and sisters at Hillsdale for their great sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. 3 days ago, I read to you a piece by CBS News. Not only did I tell you I don't believe it, and I don't trust the leaks, but even if it were true, there could be many answers to it. It did not draw any conclusions. Just like Russia collusion and all the other lies that have been thrown at Donald Trump and his family. CBS News obviously had one source and used that one source to create headlines where other news outlets picked it up. White House records turned over to House show 7-hour gap in Trump phone log on January 6th. There's a lot to get to today, and I'll get to all of it, I hope. But this is important. Internal White House records, this is 3 days ago. From the day the attack on the U.S. Capitol were turned over to the House Select Committee show a gap in President Donald Trump's phone logs of 7 hours and 37 minutes, including the period when the building was being violently assaulted, according to documents obtained by CBS News chief election and campaign correspondent Robert Costa and the Washington Post's associate editor Bob Woodward. The lack of an official White House notation of any calls placed to or by Trump for 457 minutes from 11:17 a.m. to 6:54 p.m. on January 6, 2021 means there's no record of the calls made by Trump as his supporters descended on the U.S. Capitol, battled overwhelmed police, and forcibly entered the building, prompting lawmakers and Vice President Mike Pence to flee for safety. The 11 pages of records, which consist of the president's official diary and the White House switchboard call log, were turned over by the National Archives earlier this year to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6 attack. So this leak comes directly from the January 6 committee. The records show that Trump was active on the phone for part of the day, documenting conversations that he had with at least 8 people in the morning and 11 that evening. The gap also stands in stark contrast to the extensive public reporting about phone conversations he had with allies during the attack. The chairman of the January 6th House Select Committee, Representative Benny Hill Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi, called the reported gap in the log concerning. Of course, his committee leaked it, and then they asked him for comment. Obviously, there's not a second in the day that the president of the United States is not on record somewhere, Thompson told CBS News on Tuesday. After a White House bill signing event, he said the committee would see if we can piece it together. Having a record of what the president was doing on that day is absolutely vital to the work of the committee, he said. Thompson also said the committee does not yet have any evidence that there were calls the president had made or received in that period. But if the capital of the United States is being overrun, somebody made some calls, and we just have to find them. The House panel is now investigating whether Trump communicated that day through back channels. Phones of aides or personal disposal phones, known as burner phones, according to two people with knowledge of the probe, who, like others interviewed for this report, spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive information. The committee's also scrutinizing whether it received the full log from that day. And, of course, the records show that former White House chief strategist Stephen K. Bannon, who said on his January 5 podcast that all hell's going to break loose tomorrow, spoke with Trump twice on January 6. In a statement Monday night, Trump said, "I have no idea what a burner phone is. To the best of my knowledge, I've never even heard the term." But former Trump national security advisor John Bolton, Johnny on the spot, more like Johnny made the spot, said in an interview Tuesday, after the CBS News Washington Post reporting had been published, that he recalls Trump using term burner phones in several discussions and that Trump was aware of its meaning. Bolton is quite the sleazeball. Bolton said he and Trump have spoken about how people have used burner phones to avoid having their calls scrutinized. I think Bolton's probably lying. But then again, what do I know? A Trump spokesperson said that Trump had nothing to do with the records and had assumed any and all of his phone calls were recorded and preserved. And that's the point, that very last sentence, and of course they leave it to the end. The fact of the matter is the National Archives turns over the records, not the president. The president isn't the one who conducts the recordings. Those are also civil servants. Well, there's one problem with this story. It's a lie from beginning to end. We had Adam Schiff earlier, who was taking texts, cherry-picking from them, rewriting them, putting them out there, and of course, he doesn't face disbarment. No missing pages from January 6th White House switchboard logs report, Washington Examiner. No sheets are missing from the 6 pages of White House switchboard logs from January 6, 2021. A review of the executive branch office's records found. There are no missing pages. And the 7-hour gap is likely explained by use of White House landlines, White House cell phones, and personal cell phones that don't go through the switchboard. Jamie Gangel reports, CNN reporter Zachary Cohen wrote on social media. There are no missing pages. The nearly 8 hours of missing phone logs came from records obtained by the House January 6 committee from the National Archives. The gap in former President Trump's phone logs lasted 7 hours. This was the story, as I just read to you. There are no missing logs. There's no missing phone calls. There's no missing anything. So this leak from the January 6th committee trying to destroy Donald Trump, that's all they're there for. Trying to destroy anybody around him, anybody associated with him. Trying to send a message that you may never, ever back this man for president or work for him or in any way be a surrogate for him. Was a lie. There are no missing pages, and the 7-hour gap is likely explained by use of White House landlines, White House cell phones, and personal cell phones that do not go through the switchboard, Jamie Gangel of CNN reports. Oh, okay, let's move on to the next story then, you see, ladies and gentlemen. The next leak, as long as it doesn't involve Joe Biden and his crime family, the Bidens, which we'll get to in a moment, and I will get to Ukraine, and I want to congratulate the Ukrainians for attacking in Mother Russia. Ukraine is allowed to win, and Ukraine is allowed to attack back. Even though it's essentially a pinprick, it makes a difference. And in this same vein, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Wallace gave a long interview to the New York Times. Very unhappy with Fox News. Fox changed, so Chris had to go, being the newsman and all that he is. But David Harsanyi writes a great piece at National Review. Give me a break, Chris Wallace. Wallace is obviously more comfortable living in a media culture that allows liberal conspiracies and biases, but not conservative ones. Why did Chris Wallace leave Fox News and move to CNN Plus? Quote, "I'm fine with opinion, conservative opinion, liberal opinion," he told the New York Slimes. When people start to question the truth, who won the 2020 election, was January 6th an insurrection? I found that unsustainable. Indeed, one assumes that a significant percentage of the Fox News audience believes there was something fishy about the 2020 presidential contest and that Democrats have overstated the importance of the January 6th riot. Just as it's almost surely the case that a large segment of those who tune in to CNN or MSNBC believe, despite no evidence to substantiate such claims, that democracy was stolen by Russian gremlins in 2016 and minorities are being stopped from voting. As we've learned in recent years, some political conspiracy theories are acceptable in mainstream news, while others are not, although this election stuff is getting more and more obvious and substantive. Harsanyi goes on, are the people who gave platforms to those who smeared Brett Kavanaugh as a rapist, a gang rapist actually, like Michael Avenatti and Julie Swetnick, truth tellers? Are the people who went after Nick Saman the truth tellers? Is Wallace's new colleague Rex Chapman a truth teller? Are former CIA head and frequent CNS guest John Brennan, who lied to the American people about spying on the Senate, former U.S. Director of National Intel and now CNN National Security Analyst James Clapper, who lied under oath to Congress about spying on the American people, and fired FBI Deputy Director and now CNN Law Enforcement Analyst Andrew McCabe, who lied to the FBI about illegal leaks, are they truth tellers? Only recently, CNN was handing the network over to the obsequious brother of a New York governor and would-be presidential contender, whose deadly decisions cost thousands of lives. When this governor was accused of sexual misconduct, CNN's host helped him mount a defense behind the scenes. The former head of the network might have known all about this. Truth? CNN has shown no more devotion to accuracy than any other cable network. Actually, it's shown less. Over the past 7 years or so, the network has been one of the leading spreaders of misinformation. Correct. No, Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, did not testify that Trump had advanced knowledge of any meeting between the Russians and his campaign. James Comey would not dispute the president's claim that the former FBI director told him three times that he was not under investigation. Donald Trump Jr. was not offered advance access to the hacked emails of the DNC and Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. Trump officials did not have ties to a Russian investment fund, and a CIA asset was not extracted from Russia because Trump put him in danger. This is an excellent piece, by the way. None of these stories, and numerous others, meant to undermine the public's trust in elections, turned out to be truth. We must assume that it was a deliberate attempt to undermine trust in the election, not only because of the sheer number of blown scoops, but because no real explanation was ever offered for these so-called mistakes. Virtually all of them miraculously skewing in the same useful direction. This was not mere bias. Those who regularly pass on concerted partisan attacks as legitimate news are not journalists. And most of those responsible for those stories are still at the network. Many have been promoted. Say what you like about Fox's ideological disposition, and it's obviously strongly conservative. During the 8 years of the Obama administration, first Biden term, Fox never comes anywhere close to CNN's level of journalistic malpractice, which was far more corrosive to public trust than any openly contrarian pundit, he writes, like Tucker Carlson, and entertaining conspiratorial ideas. CNN, more than Fox or MSNBC, functions under the pretense that its pundits are dispassionate journalists, apples and bananas and all that, yet the idea that Don Lemon, Brianna Kyler, or Jim Acosta are less partisan than Hannity, Ingram, or Waters is a fiction. Chris Wallace is obviously more comfortable living in a culture that allows liberal conspiracies and biases, but not conservative ones. And that's his choice, of course. Wallace is often one of the best straightforward political interviewers in the business. No, he's not. There is no need for him to perpetuate the fantasy that the American left is less prone to paranoia or that his new employer has more reverence for the truth. Chris Wallace is a disaster. He was a disaster during the debates when he wouldn't let Donald Trump pursue the Hunter Biden corruption, which was key, which was critical. And he participated, in my view, in the censorship of the whole issue. And he won't look at any of the fraud evidence that comes forward. And I'm not talking about kooks and machines and all the rest. I'm talking about legitimate or the constitutional issues that have been raised. Well, he did participate in trafficking in the Russia collusion conspiracy. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
If Folks, I'm here to talk to you about something very serious. Have you felt something changing in our country? That too many people no longer identify themselves as Americans first, but instead group themselves by race, class, or sex? That we're losing the common idea of justice, the melting pot that unites us? I'm talking about citizenship, folks. And if we lose the idea of citizenship, then we don't have a country. But there's something you can do. Get educated and then teach others. And my friends at Hillsdale College can show you the way. Hillsdale's new free course on American citizenship will help you learn about what's happening and why. The course is taught by our friend, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, who will equip you to help restore our country. You can sign up for free at levinforhillsdale.com. You'll learn about topics like the history of citizenship, the deep state, and even the Great Reset. Please sign up today to take Hillsdale's free course at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com. A lot to cover. Don't worry. We'll get there. And by the way, don't forget Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, Life, Liberty, and Levin on the Fox News Channel. We have fantastic guests. Ted Cruz is really beyond the usual. He's just fantastic as we go deep into the Supreme Court. I didn't know that he went to law school with Judge Jackson. Did you know that, Mr. Producer? And Harvard Law School. And we learn a lot more, by the way. And then we have David Mamet, who is a big-time, for decades, Hollywood and, I might say, Broadway playwright, movie scriptwriter. Very, very well known. Very well known out there in particular. And he's moved to the bright side. And he's written a book that is unbelievable. And I really want you to hear from him. He's a remarkable man. And I was absolutely fascinated by him. So I hope you'll watch. It's perfect for Sunday night. That's why we do it. That's why it airs at 8 p.m. Eastern. Hunter Biden, revelations are coming down the pike. But the media are covering up for Joe Biden. The laptop, which has now been authenticated by the New York Times, so it must be true. Authenticated by the Washington Post, so it must be true. It was always true. It's the laptop in Bobulinski, and Babalui, no, Bobulinski, who tied Joe Biden specifically to the financial corruption of his family. He's the patriarch of this family. And the Communist Chinese, a company set up by the Communist Chinese and the Communist Chinese military, poured anywhere from $5 million to $10 million into the Biden family coffers, ladies and gentlemen. $5 million of that is simply, without question, there are bank receipts for it. It was wired into the account. Now, money was moved around by Hunter, for instance, Joe Biden's dumb younger brother. I say dumb, but look how they made out like bandits, international bandits. Joe Biden says he knows nothing about this. Joe Biden is a liar. He lies about anything and everything. Joe Biden knew the particulars, not in great detail, but he knew enough. He met with Bobulinski. Bobulinski has revealed all about him. The documents right there on the computer talk about Biden getting 10%. The big guy, Joe. There's more. I got a lot more to discuss. Please stick with us. I'll be right back. Folks, I'm here to talk to you about something very serious. Have you felt something changing in our country? That too many people no longer identify themselves as Americans first, but instead group themselves by race, class, or sex? That we're losing the common idea of justice, the melting pot that unites us? I'm talking about citizenship, folks. And if we lose the idea of citizenship, then we don't have a country. But there's something you can do. Get educated and then teach others. And my friends at Hillsdale College can show you the way. Hillsdale's new free course on American citizenship will help you learn about what's happening and why. The course is taught by our friend, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, who will equip you to help restore our country. You can sign up for free at levinforhillsdale.com. You'll learn about topics like the history of citizenship, the deep state, and even the Great Reset. Please sign up today to take Hillsdale's free course at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com.
America's most powerful conservative voice, The Mark Levin Show. Dial in now, 877-381-3811.
Last night I was on the best 4.5 minutes on TV. No brag, just fact. And he asked me about the Bidens, and here's what I said. Cut one, go.
I break this down. You take away the last name Biden and you replace it with Trump. What happens, Mark Levin?
No question about it. I mean, they're still investigating Trump at the federal level, with Congress, DA's office, the Attorney General of New York, all corrupt, all Democrats, never ending. But this isn't about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the patriarch of a incredibly corrupt political family. He may be the most corrupt president in American history. The media have been protecting him, even the New York Times and the Washington Post, even though they now admit that the laptop is legit, it's authentic, because they must, because the criminal investigation with career prosecutors in Wilmington is proceeding. What are they supposed to say? The fact of the matter is everybody knew it was legitimate, especially the press. It was his laptop. It came about accidentally. The New York Post was printing chapter and verse. The big oligarchs covered it up. The media covered it up at a time when the American people should have known before the election. If they had reported what was on that laptop, if they had applied the kind of resources that they apply, trying to set up Donald Trump with phony arguments and so forth, we would have known before the election just how corrupt Joe Biden and his family are. And we would have known that he could never be president of the United States. So the Democrat Party would have been out without a candidate. And there is no way that Joe Biden would receive even close to the number of votes he supposedly got. The media are corrupt, and they're still corrupt. They're still trying to protect him. Hunter Biden, look, he's under criminal investigation. The whole family, you have James Biden, his younger brother, other brothers, the sister-in-law. So far, I calculated you have $5 million confirmed that this communist Chinese front group and communist military front group gave to
actually,
the
Ron Johnson has confirmed this. I should have said that, but I only had 4.5 minutes. Go ahead.
Up to $10 million. $3.5 million from the wife of the Moscow mayor. Several million Burisma, about $4 million. So already, conservatively, we're talking about over $13 million that went to this family. Joe Biden has said he didn't know anything about his son's business. Joe Biden is a pathological serial liar when it comes to oil, when it comes to the border, when it comes to anything. But especially here, we have a very credible witness who went public, Bob Alinsky. This guy has a Navy SEAL background and so forth. He met with Biden in May of 2017. Biden knew the particulars of the deal that they were trying to make. He also made it clear that the Biden family wanted them to make sure that they covered their tracks for the big guy being Joe. In the contemporaneous documents on the laptop that everybody now admits is authentic, even though it's 14 months late, 15 months late, Joe Biden is listed the big guy supposed to get 10%. 10% of what? 10% of millions of dollars that were coming from the communist Chinese to the Biden family. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's more than enough predicates here to conduct a criminal investigation of Joe Biden. His son, justice should be due. He violated the Federal Corrupt Practices Act. He didn't identify as an agent, according to the way the Department of Justice conducts itself. But we have a bigger problem. We have a man in the Oval Office who I believe is effectively a Manchurian candidate. He is, in my view, a crook, that he is corrupt. Now, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is not going to investigate Biden. He won't allow it. He's busy chasing parents. He's busy attacking the Georgia Republican legislature. He's busy going after Texas for their abortion rules and on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is this. There needs to be a special counsel now to investigate Joe Biden. The Democrats in the House won't do it. A special counsel with subpoena power. That man needs to be under oath. He needs to be questioned. This family is corrupt.
All right. There will be a point at which, it won't be too long from now, where the backbenchers will join me in this call for a special counsel. But in this same vein, same genre, Chuck Todd had Senator Kevin Cramer on MSNBC yesterday. Because you see, they're very upset that President Trump said that Russia and Putin should release any information they have that shows that Joe Biden is tied to Hunter Biden and monies that he received, $3.5 million, from the wife of the mayor of Moscow, among other things. Media are very upset about this. They'll go anywhere, print anything about Trump or about you folks, but you're actually going to ask the Russians for this information? Well, why not? Fact of the matter is, there's a cover-up going on here, ladies and gentlemen, a cover-up going on by the United States Department of Justice and FBI, by the President of the United States and the individuals he surrounded himself with. They're all trying to protect Biden. China, as Senator Johnson says, knows more about what the Bidens have done and what they were paid and so forth than we do. And we know a lot. So why shouldn't we ask them for the information? It doesn't mean you're aiding and abetting the enemy. They love the fact that Joe Biden is president of the United States, regardless of the narrative that is out there today. So Chuck Todd gets very ugly. I mean, uglier than he is, in attacking Senator Kevin Cramer. Take a listen. Cut to go.
So what you're saying is that was sarcasm. You believe the former president shouldn't be. I mean, I'm sorry. It comes across as almost a bit unpatriotic to ask literally the enemy of the free world right now for propaganda for a political opponent. I mean,
you see, this is how a Democrat hack spins this. This is how they spun the phone call he had with Zelensky. This is what they do. And it's really quite outrageous. The things that sort of spew out of Todd's mouth that we want propaganda from Putin. This is the same Chuck Todd who rejected the laptop and claimed it was Russian propaganda. And he had no evidence for that because it wasn't. This is the same Chuck Todd who ran with Russia collusion. He had no evidence for that either, but he ran with it. And we can go on and on. Go ahead.
A horrendous thing to do by the former president, no?
Chuck, here's the reality. If Hunter Biden's name was Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, you guys would be treating the war in Ukraine like
no,
it was
what
a
about
Boy Scout
enough
camp
of this.
Gone.
That is the Senator, that is the laziest attack.
It's not about the media. It doesn't matter about the media.
Is it the right thing to do?
It does matter about the media. And stop talking over your guest. Have some respect, of which you have none. He's exactly right. He's showing that you're two-faced, that you're a hypocrite, that you have an ideological and political agenda. Go ahead.
President of the United States to ask an enemy of the free world to do this.
Well, it's what the former president is doing is nothing compared to what the current president is doing in this circumstance. That's really the bigger issue.
Well said. The issue isn't Trump. The issue is Biden. You twit. You twerp. That's the problem. Go ahead.
He's not going to change. It's more interesting to the Washington press corps than it is to the general public. Was it the wisest thing in the world to say? Perhaps not, but he's Donald Trump, and he says these things. And the reality is that Vladimir Putin is a war crime, a war criminal. I wouldn't trust anything that came out of it. If he had actual evidence that a crime was committed, if any of us had evidence that a crime was committed...
Excuse me. Our government, under Joe Biden, goes to foreign governments, foreign intelligence services, foreign law enforcement all the time, including with hostile or would-be hostile governments to get information. Yes, they do. I've seen it with my own two eyes as a chief of staff to the attorney general. Whether the information is to be believed or not is a determination made upon analysis. But particularly in this case, where the people who control the information flow in the government put Biden and their party and their ideology before country, where people in the media like Chuck Todd put Biden and their party and their ideology before country, something has to be done to break through this. Now, here are the same media that claim to be using information from Russian intelligence to get Trump on the dossier. They were more than happy to work with the enemy. You have a man by the name of Swalwell who slept with the enemy. You had a man by the name of Schiff who was on the phone with two comedians who he thought were really Russians giving information about Donald Trump. So the Democrats will go anywhere, do anything for information. Oh, yes. I remember when Nancy Pelosi met with the butcher of Syria, Assad. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen? She even covered her hair. Out of respect for him. Remember when the Democrats were talking about parading to meet Fidel Castro, Daniel Ortega, among others, Hugo Chavez. I remember when Ted Kennedy went around Ronald Reagan's back and was communicating with Brezhnev and the Kremlin. Donald Trump is an honest man. He's a transparent man. He says, you know, Putin has information. The Russians have information on Biden. Let's see it. And that crosses the line for Chuck Todd because he doesn't want to see it. He didn't want to see the laptop. All he saw was Russia collusion before that because he's a fraud. He's a phony. That's what Chuck Todd is. That's what they all are. All of them. Remember the seven-hour gap that I just spoke about? At the top of the hour, the seven-hour gap on the phone log. Oh my God, it's like the 18-and-a-half-minute gap on the tapes of Watergate. No, it's not. Trump says, I don't even know what a burner phone is. But they bring in John Bolton, who's trustworthy and believable in all matters. And it was a lie. They ran with a lie. It was a intentional leak by the committee to try and trash Trump. This committee is a Stalinist enterprise, and Chuck Todd is one of the head commentators for America's Pravda.
Mark Levin.
Folks, I'm here to talk to you about something very serious. Have you felt something changing in our country? That too many people no longer identify themselves as Americans first, but instead group themselves by race, class, or sex? That we're losing the common idea of justice, the melting pot that unites us? I'm talking about citizenship, folks. And if we lose the idea of citizenship, then we don't have a country. But there's something you can do. Get educated and then teach others. And my friends at Hillsdale College can show you the way. Hillsdale's new free course on American citizenship will help you learn about what's happening and why. The course is taught by our friend, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, who will equip you to help restore our country. You can sign up for free at levinforhillsdale.com. You'll learn about topics like the history of citizenship, the deep state, and even the Great Reset. Please sign up today to take Hillsdale's free course at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com. Chuck Todd wasn't done. You could see how he treats certain guests, radical left-wing Marxists and Democrats one way and then Republicans another way. Cut three, go.
Look, I'm not gonna debate you about whether Trump gets too much coverage or not enough.
Right.
But he is the leader of your party, sir. At the end of the day, whether you like it or not, he's the leader of your party. Are you comfortable with the leader?
I didn't say he didn't like it or not. Why is Chuck Todd doing this? Because he's a hack. Go ahead.
Playing footsie with Vladimir Putin.
Well, here's what I know. Playing footsie with Vladimir Putin, the evidence that has come out of the recent investigation shows that there's evidence that Democrats fed information into the White House to plant false evidence
again,
that he colluded with the
does
president.
That make
You're
what
never
Donald
interested
Trump
in those
do?
Things.
How does that make what Donald Trump is doing somehow better?
Well, first of all, it doesn't necessarily make it better, but he's a former president. We have a current president who has called for regime changes in Russia. That's dangerous. We have a current president who says that sanctions are never intended or would never deter Vladimir Putin. We're all going, why did we issue sanctions then? And so, no, I'm way more concerned, and I think the American people are, with the current president and his behavior and the really the lack of scrutiny of it compared to a former president.
Now, here's my question, if we're going to talk about people other than Biden. How about you, Chuck? Are you embarrassed by your lack of professionalism? Are you embarrassed that you're a complete fraud as a journalist? Are you embarrassed that behind the scenes you work very closely with the Democrats and the left? Are you? Are you embarrassed by any of that? You should be. Are you embarrassed, Chuck Todd, that you covered up the laptop? Are you embarrassed that you promoted the Russia collusion fraud? Are you embarrassed by any of these things? Are you? I think it's a perfectly good question, or a series of questions, if you will, to make a determination on that. Because my suggestion, my supposition is that you're not. You're doing a grave disservice to the American people. And so I want to make a proposal, Mr. Producer, in America, one that I think is in line with the administration, so he may go for it. And it's really quite simple. Chuck, don't you think you should resign so we could have the first minority transgender person to head Meet the Press? And if we're going to have the first minority transgender person on the moon or the first African-American woman, don't you think it's time to Meet the Press? Meet the Press. I mean, after all, it's owned by Comcast, which actually runs some Disney programming last time I checked. Don't you think it's time, Chuck, you being a white guy and obviously systemically racist, incapable of ever correcting yourself, that you step down and make way for another? Wouldn't that be the thing to do? I think it is. And I think Comcast knows it. Yes, if it's good enough for Joe Biden and the next person on the moon, I didn't even know we were sending another person to the moon, but apparently so. I think Joe Biden lives on the moon, but that's a whole other thing. Chuck, practice what you preach. It's time for Chuck to resign and to be replaced with an individual, a minority, who is transgendered or transgendering, or anyone from the LGBTQIWABC. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Brett Baer did a fantastic interview, I thought, with President Zelensky. And I want to say this about the Ukrainians. They struck a site in Russia. And that's a good thing. Well, Mark, it's not going to change the war necessarily. I've talked about this before. I talked about this during the breakout of the war when Russia invaded Ukraine, about how we hit Tokyo. FDR wanted to create a psychological issue, and he wanted to make it clear to the American people that we could do what would be considered the impossible. And we did it with these incredibly brave men. We did it. So I just want to make that abundantly clear. The Ukrainians also have made it clear that they need the jets and they need help. You know, my concern is that Russia is not going to surrender. Russia is not going to give up. Yahoo. Ukraine braces for all-out Russian assault in the east as war enters sixth week. These are people who want to fight, ladies and gentlemen. These are people who want to protect themselves and their family and their country. They want to win. They want to win. And we're not permitting them to. We are not permitting them to. The head of the U.S. European Command admitted, as pointed out in Red State, that Biden's plan to stop Russia's invasion of Ukraine was worthless. It is worthless. It was worthless. Now, Putin is drafting 135,000 conscripts. Of course, they're not going to go to Ukraine. Of course, they're going to go to Ukraine. And what's happening is Russia is digging in for a longer war. I don't know how long that means, but a longer war. So the people in Ukraine continue to get slaughtered. Their cities continue to be destroyed. The propagandists in America, the Putin wing of the media, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, in full pro-Putin, anti-American, anti-Ukraine mode. That's what they are. Biden's not leading anything. He's not leading anything. And so I just want to point this out, that Ukraine still needs these weapons. As a matter of fact, as this goes on, it needs them now more than ever. They're going to wind up with no jet power whatsoever. Those MiG-29s, they can't fly forever. They don't have enough of them. They don't even have enough to cannibalize now. Putin knows that. Well, they'll be able to shoot down, you know, Russian jets with the Stingers and so forth. That's fine, but they need to go on the offense and hit Russian military targets both in Ukraine and perhaps on the border. That's what needs to be done. And I stand with you, the vast majority of the American people who believe this. That's what all the surveys show. Not a little clique in Washington, D.C., of self-described American firsters who are not self-described think tank types, media types, and so forth. It's really quite appalling. I stand with you folks. We stand together in our disgust for all this. Now, Jackie Heinrich, who's actually quite a good reporter at Fox, questioning Psaki. Did you see Psaki got a media job, Mr. Producer? For some NBC. What is she going digital to? No, I know she's going to NBC, but what is she doing? I think she's doing some, I don't know, some online thing. They must be paying her a bundle. But the reason I bring this up is you see how easily Democrats move in and out of the media. You might say, what about Mulvaney? He's going to be working for, what is it, NBC or CBS? Yeah, but he's not going to be a host. He's not hosting anything. There is a big difference, you know. I mean, CNN brings in Republicans and then uses them like toilet paper. So do the other networks. But Mulvaney won't be a host, actually. Whereas Psaki will be some kind of a host. And she ought to. First of all, I'll salute her. What do you think of that? We all know that the big media are corrupt. And it's about time that she exposes herself as being corrupt and part of the big media. Go for it. But in the meantime, she's still at the White House. And Jackie Heinrich to Jen Psaki at the White House press briefing today. How are people supposed to believe gas and food prices are Putin's fault? Cut 11, go.
Today, the president blamed Putin's invasion of Ukraine for not just higher gas prices, but also higher food prices. Inflation was at 7.4% in January before the invasion. In February, it went up to 7.9%. Putin didn't invade until the 24th. So March is really going to show.
Yes, and Putin invaded Georgia. He's invaded Crimea. It didn't have the same effect. No. The Democrats and Biden, they're responsible for this. Maybe they ought to adopt capitalism rather than sort of Putin's fascistic socialism under the umbrella of American Marxism. Go ahead.
The invasion, and that report doesn't even come out until April 12th. So how are people supposed to believe the Putin price hike is to blame for food prices going up when the timeline doesn't add up?
Well, here's what the president is reflecting on. One, the price of gas has gone up by approximately a dollar or more since Putin started lining up troops at the border. This is
So the price of fuel went up when Putin was lining up troops at the border? No, the price of fuel went up when bread lines for oil drillers and pipe fitters were lining up because of the policies of this administration. This is basic stuff, ladies and gentlemen. If you cut off avenues to fuel production, you're going to get less fuel. That's what Biden did. That's what the Democrats did. And they're still doing it. At a one side of their mouth, they're saying, go with electric, drop the fossil fuels. We don't want you to use it anymore. And at the other side of their mouth, they're going to the Venezuelans and the Saudis and OPEC and saying, please give us more fuel. Please give us more fuel. And all of it is the fault of the oil companies. Because this is what Marxists do. They want you to hate the oil companies, be blinded by your hate of the oil. It's like the whole racism thing. The whole racism thing. Just be filled with hate and rage. This is what Biden and the Democrats need. This is how they survive. Go ahead.
Economists have spoken to as well, not just the administration. And those are just factual details about how much the
factual details. A lot of economists have disagreed with you, including Summers, who was Obama's economist. If you're an economist and you don't understand supply and demand, then you're not an economist. You're a political hack dressed up as an economist. Like all these political hacks dressed up as journalists. Or all these 51 national security experts who were out there making it 100% certain that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation campaign prior to the election. Go ahead.
Up. We know that's a huge impact. And when you say inflation, people think the costs on their pocketbook and the impact on their budgets. The second piece on the availability of food, we know that different markets around the world are impacted by the lack of production in Ukraine and other because
yes,
of the
war.
Yes,
but we're not very much impacted by it. The production of wheat or grain generally and the production of corn. I mean, we have excess production. That's why we use it in our gasoline even. So we're not talking about the world. Well, the world market affects the United States. Of course it does, but we shouldn't have shortages. We shouldn't have shortages. Go ahead.
impact global food prices.
It hasn't happened yet. This is the first time we've heard the president blame Putin for higher food prices.
I think what the president's looking at is what the impact has been in a lot of areas that are leading to price increases on people's pocketbooks and where we could see it increasing over the course of time.
Oh, well then. Well said. Well explained. Now I understand everything, don't you, Rich? Price of fuel was going up. You know it. I know it. We were all talking about it. Price of fuel was going up. Inflation had taken root. You know it. I know it. We were all talking about it. We said why. The Democrats. They take responsibility for nothing. The border's wide open. This administration then wants you to believe it's science that is abandoning Title 42. Now millions of people are going to have the capacity to come into this country. Millions more. And they take no responsibility for any of it. They take responsibility for things they had nothing to do with, like the development of a vaccine and that sort of stuff. But they are disastrous. But you watch. Next, it'll be Putin's responsible for the border being open. Putin's responsible we can't get the Build Back Better bill passed, you see. Putin's responsible because we can't tax unearned income, unrealized income. Actually, it's big oil. Maybe it's big meat. Big oil, big meat. It's never big government. The real robber barons in our society today are in the government. Think about it. They take more of your income, those of us who pay taxes. They take more of your income. They regulate your lives. They interfere with your lives. Not a single company on the face of the earth has the power that the central government has. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Have you ever played the game, would you rather, with your kids? Would you rather be a donkey or an elephant? That was an easy one. Well, here's another easy one. Would you rather overpay for cell phone service every month to a company with leftist values or pay about half with Pure Talk and support a company who cares about your values? It's time to ditch Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Pure Talk has the same 5G coverage as one of those big guys, but saves the average family over $800 a year. I made the switch, and so can you. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data is just $30 a month. Or get unlimited data and still save a fortune. So do this. Go to puretalk.com, find the plan that's right for you. Then this month, enter promo code Levin Podcast. That's L-E-V-I-N Podcast, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code Levin Podcast. Mr. Producer, I don't know how you would find the man, but if Chris Wallace can, maybe you can. Bob Iger is the former CEO of Disney. He's had a lot of input behind the scenes, the invisible hand, in encouraging people at Disney to take the positions that they have taken. And it's time, I think, he comes out of the shadows. I'd like to have a very honest discussion with him. Now, here he is. He's on with Chris Wallace on CNN Plus, and of course, on CNN Plus, nobody's watching. CNN Plus is about to be CNN minus. And you had told me that Psaki is going to be a host on the Peacock, the internet NBC service, as well as a guest from time to time. Isn't that correct? Oh, on MSNBC, so she's not even in the big leagues. But that means she'll be working with Schmuck Todd. No question about that. As they continue to have diversity there, I would say Psaki has to be the whitest of the white Caucasians, wouldn't you, Mr. Producer? So rather than doing what I suggest, removing Chuck Todd and replacing him with a minority transsexual, and I really believe this, they pick another white person. In fact, not just a white person, a transparently white person. Okay, Speaking of which, we have Bob Iger. Bob Iger is a left-wing kook. Bob Iger made a fortune off the back of Disney World. And now he thinks that your preschool first graders, second graders, third graders, kindergartners should be taught about sex, should be asked about sexual preferences, and so forth and so on. Because Bob Iger knows, you see. Bob Iger knows more than you parents out there. And so he's the one that lit the fuse that has caused all this trauma at Disney. And, of course, he and others have lied through their teeth about what has actually been done in Florida by DeSantis and the legislature because he's a radical Democrat. He doesn't care. He's a buffoon. He is truly, in real life, a Mickey Mouse. Cut 12, go.
A lot of these issues are not necessarily political. It's about right and wrong. So I happen to feel, and I tweeted an opinion about the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida.
It's not a Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, you moron. I guess he won't come on the program. Doesn't matter. Don't Say Gay bill. Okay. No amount of money will matter, but let's put money on the table, shall we, Mr. Iger? You show me where the bill says Don't Say Gay. That's your quote. Quote, Don't Say Gay. Show me where the bill says that. Show me where the bill says that. Go ahead.
To me, it wasn't politics. It was what is right and what is wrong. And
well, of course, your positions are always right, and anyone who disagrees with you is wrong. You're a sanctimonious jackass. That's what you are, Bob Iger. May I call you Bobby? I'm going to call you Bobby. Maybe Booby. Go ahead.
It seemed potentially harmful to kids. When you're dealing with right and wrong, or when you're dealing with something
What seemed potentially harmful to kids? Does this guy have kids or grandkids? Does he? Seriously, I'm just curious. In the privacy of his own mansions, does Bob Iger talk to his kids or grandkids, if they're little ones, particularly the younger the better, about their genitals? Does he talk to them about what they should do with their genitals? Does he talk to them about whether they identify with their genitals? Is this what happens in the Iger family? Because if it does, Child Services needs to go to those mansions and collect those kids as fast as possible. Wouldn't you say, Mr. Producer? Does Bob Iger, he looks like he's old. Does he talk to his little grandkids, assuming he has them, little ones, babies? Come here, Frankie. I mean, this is what we call, right? Perverted behavior. Come here, Frankie.
Yes, Granddad.
How do you identify?
What?
Do you identify as a little boy with a penis or a little girl with a vagina?
What?
Do you identify with what's between your legs or between your ears?
Can we go to the ice cream store?
No. Frankie, I'm not done asking you. Have you ever heard the word sex?
What? Sex?
No, sex, Frankie.
No, I have never heard the word sex.
Well, let me tell you about it. Let's bring out your crayons and a piece of construction paper, and I'll draw these things for you, Frankie. You do that with your grandkids, Bobby? Is that what you do? I'm starting to think you're a sick bastard. You want to know the truth? I don't know that for sure, of course. Come on the program. I'd be happy to debate you. I admit I'm not Chris Wallace. I'll be right back. Have you ever played the game, Would You Rather, with your kids? Would you rather be a donkey or an elephant? That was an easy one. Well, here's another easy one. Would you rather overpay for cell phone service every month to a company with leftist values, or pay about half with Pure Talk and support a company who cares about your values? It's time to ditch Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Pure Talk has the same 5G coverage as one of those big guys, but saves the average family over $800 a year. I made the switch, and so can you. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data is just $30 a month. Or get unlimited data and still save a fortune. So do this. Go to puretalk.com, find the plan that's right for you. Then this month, enter promo code Levin Podcast. That's L-E-V-I-N Podcast, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code Levin Podcast.
The only constitutional lawyer you can see today for free. No appointment necessary. Just call him at 877-381-3811.
Jose, Chicago, Illinois, XM Satellite. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
First of all, I just wanted to state real quick, I believe that Russia has some type of blackmail against Joe Biden. And the reason why I say that is because we are failing the Ukrainian government on giving them the weapons and the military hardware to fight the Russians.
I agree with you. And that's very possible because the extent of the Biden family's involvement with the Russians isn't known. What little we know involves $3.5 million going to his son for absolutely nothing. Why would the wife of the mayor of Moscow, the former mayor, give $3.5 million to Hunter Biden? Makes no sense whatsoever, does it?
Yeah.
I guess she adopted him. She took a liking to him. That's never been explained. Chuck Todd won't explain it. MSLSD, the Constipated News Network, they won't explain it. I'm sure with Psaki now added to Comcast's magnificent conga line of freaks and frauds, I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it. Anyway, go ahead, Jose.
The only question I have to say is how many more lives have to be taken away until our government in Washington, D.C. actually try to attempt to help the Ukrainian by giving them the equipment needed. And honestly, the proof is in the pudding. I believe that their whole intention wasn't to not even to help them from the very beginning. And what is this, day 36, 30? I don't even know.
By the way, this is a very interesting point because they seem to have done the very minimum, haven't they, Jose? They wanted Harpoon missiles because they knew that Russia would attack from the sea. And the amount of damage that's been done to Mariupol and others with thousands murdered has been horrific. They knew they needed some jet fighters. They needed some MiG-29 so they could move across the country and attack these various columns of artillery and artillery moving equipment and tanks and so forth. So I think a lot of what you're saying is exactly right. And even now, there's no leading taking place. We know because the president of Ukraine keeps saying, I need the heavy equipment. We need to be able to fight these people. And what they've gotten, these people want to fight. They want to survive. Go ahead.
This event in history is, like, what's happening right now in this event in history is just, we are not even understanding how this is going to affect us in a couple months, couple years, on just our lack of help. How our other allies are going to even look at us. If we can't even help a country that is willing to fight and to lay down their own lives, so imagine other countries that are not willing to fight.
Well, my friend, you should be the Secretary of State. I believe that. Thank you for your call. Excellent call. Speaking of the Secretary of State, there's a fantastic piece by Melanie Phillips at JNS. When an Arab terrorist murdered five Israelis this week by opening fire indiscriminately with an M16 rifle, Palestinian Arabs in the Gaza Strip and the so-called West Bank handed out sweets in celebration and held jubilant rallies. Made no difference to them that one of the five victims, police officer Amr Khoury, was an Israeli Arab who was gunned down as he shot the terrorist dead. Palestinian Arabs celebrate with sweets and fireworks whenever they murder Jews. This was the third such deadly terrorist attack in 8 days, leaving a total of 11 Israelis dead. Once more, Israeli families have been left devastated and grieving after attacks perpetrated against them simply because they're Israelis. At the Negev summit held earlier this week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the unprecedented peace agreements between Israel and the Arab world that had followed the historic Abraham Accords, quote, are not a substitute for progress between Palestinians and Israelis, unquote. What did Blinken mean by progress? Did he perhaps mean that the Palestinian Arabs must stop killing Israelis? Did he mean they must cast aside the mindset that causes them to celebrate wildly whenever Jews are murdered? Did he mean that the Palestinian Authority must abandon teaching its children to murder Jews and steal Israeli land? No, Blinken did not mean this. By progress, he meant Israeli concessions. This is how Blinken thinks, Jose. This is who Blinken is. Although he issued a condemnation of the atrocity within hours of taking place, he made no acknowledgement that the sole reason for such attacks is that the Palestinians, backed by Muslim regimes such as the rulers of Iran, want Israel annihilated. He omitted to acknowledge that the war against Israel is driven by profound anti-Semitism and religious fanaticism. At a press conference before the Negev summit began, he failed to acknowledge that the people responsible for the absence of a Palestinian state are not the Israelis, who have repeatedly agreed to it, but the Palestinian Arabs themselves, who have refused such a state alongside Israel for the best part of a century. Instead, he put most of the blame for the lack of progress on Israel. Peace should be promoted, he said, through working to prevent actions on all sides that could raise tensions, including settlement expansion, settler violence, incitement to violence, demolitions, payments to individuals convicted of terrorism, evictions of families from homes they've lived in for decades. So basically, Blinken is taking the propaganda of terrorist organizations and throwing it in with the Israelis. With the Israelis. Trump showed how this works. But Blinken's not capable of doing that. And of course, never will. Blinken has a lot of blood on his hands. From Afghanistan to one country after another. Coming in the midst of the past week's atrocities against Israelis, Blinken's remarks were obscene. Settlement expansion only increases tensions between people like Blinken, make this so by continuing to perpetuate the lie that Israelis have stolen Palestinian land in the disputed territories. The truth is they're the only people with a legal and historical right to be there. It's funny, and I've talked about this, indigenous peoples, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Indigenous Peoples Day. Well, the name Jew comes out of Judea. You have Judea and Samaria. These are the original homelands of the Jews. Only goes back almost 5,000 years. Settler violence, although reprehensible, is minuscule compared with the countless daily and never-ending attacks or attempted attacks on Israelis, the vast majority of which go entirely unreported in America and Britain. Where's Chuck Todd when you need him? The Arab eviction, so-called, from the Jerusalem neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, they call it, I guess, Shimon Hatzitik, were nothing other than a dispute over non-payment of rent, grossly misrepresented by Blinken and his ilk as a form of ethnic cleansing, and we've talked about that. By lumping in Palestinian incitement and rewards to terrorist families, along with these criticisms of Israel, Blinken erased the distinction between Israeli rights and Palestinian Arab attempts to erase those rights. And by claiming that his distorted and misleading list of alleged Israeli offenses was blocking so-called progress, he effectively blamed Israel for its own victimization. This inversion of Arab aggressors and Israeli victims is typical of Western liberal Israel bashers who resolutely refuse to acknowledge the bigotry, savagery, and lies among the Palestinians whose cause they promote. If the pressure from Israel's defense minister, Benny Gantz, leader Mahmoud Abbas issued a rare condemnation of the attacks, this gesture was worthless. The terrorist was reportedly affiliated with the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, the military wing of Abbas's Fatah faction. Abbas himself persistently glorifies as martyrs those who murdered Israelis. As Palestinian media watches documented, when three Fatah terrorists were killed in confrontations with Israel recently, Abbas himself openly called on Palestinians to murder Israelis. to dish out to them twice as much as we've received. And it goes on, because it's a fantastic piece. We will link to it by Melanie Phillips. Why do I tell you these things? Jose was talking about Biden in Ukraine. It's Biden in Ukraine. It's Biden in Israel. It's Biden in Taiwan. It's Biden in Afghanistan. It's Biden in Iran. He is a disaster. Where there was peace, there's now war. Where there was normalcy, there's now anarchy. Whether it's our own country and the economy with the border, high level of murder in our streets now, or other countries. Joe Biden, his entire career, even as a young man in the United States Senate, he's been horrific. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Have you ever played the game, would you rather, with your kids? Would you rather be a donkey or an elephant? That was an easy one. Well, here's another easy one. Would you rather overpay for cell phone service every month to a company with leftist values, or pay about half with Pure Talk and support a company who cares about your values? It's time to ditch Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Pure Talk has the same 5G coverage as one of those big guys, but saves the average family over $800 a year. I made the switch, and so can you. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data is just $30 a month. Or get unlimited data and still save a fortune. So do this. Go to puretalk.com, find the plan that's right for you. Then this month, enter promo code Levin Podcast. That's L-E-V-I-N Podcast, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code Levin Podcast. It's only fair that Ron DeSantis have an opportunity to speak after I played the Bob Iger clip. Bobby, how do you treat your grandchildren? Do you teach them about sex? Do you draw pictures? Because they're very good with pictures. What do you do, Bobby? How do you discuss transsexualism with them? How do you discuss whether they self-identify a boy or girl? How do you discuss the genitalia with your grandchildren? Most people would say, you know what, Bobby? You're pretty sick if that's what you're doing. So it's no different if a teacher's doing it, Bobby. Or somebody dressed up in a Goofy outfit or a Mickey outfit. You get the point? Maybe you don't. Here's Ron DeSantis on Fox and Friends today. Cut 13, go.
Well, over many, many decades, Brian, they've gotten incredible treatment from the Florida legislature, and they are treated on a pedestal. This one corporation is treated differently than everybody else. And so that's not something I've ever supported. But now in the legislature, you see a movement to reevaluate those special privileges. And so at the end of the day, I think Disney has gotten over its skis on this. And look, there's policy disputes, and that's fine. But when you're trying to impose a woke ideology on our state, you know, we view that as a significant threat. This wokeness will destroy this country if we let it run unabated. So in Florida, we take a very big stand against that. And I think the legislature is going to look at that. And 6 months ago, it would have been unthinkable that they would be willing to reevaluate those special privileges. I think they are going to do that now. And that's going to represent a major shift for our state. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't believe in special treatment for any corporation.
Sure. I agree. They should strip them of all their special privileges. They're set up like a self-governing entity. But they should be treated like everybody else. And so let us start a movement here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call it Disney Equity. What do you think, Mr. Producer? We want Disney Equity. I'm issuing an executive order right here from my desk in the bunker. We want Disney Equity. They should have equity with Universal. All these other companies should have equity with Disney. I think we should use Disney Corporation now as a experiment for all the left wing's agenda. I don't think anybody should make over $400,000 in the executive suite. I don't think the executive suite should be filled with mainly white people. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Please don't forget, this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Fox, Life, Liberty, and Levin, we have two fantastic guests. We have our friend Ted Cruz. Not one of these quick interviews. It is a good, solid interview, and he says some things I wasn't aware of. Very fascinating, very important about the Supreme Court and this nominee. Without interruption from me. And the next guest will be David Mamet, the quite famous playwright, movie writer, and author, who was raised by parents who were leftists, Alinskyites. And now he is a conservative Trump supporter. It's a fascinating story. He's a very brave man. He's a brilliant man. He's written an incredibly intelligent book that I actually think is a book that's going to be remembered for decades, you know, after we're gone. It's just fantastic. But I think you'll come to the show. I think you come to the show on a Sunday night sort of to wrap things up on the West Coast, too, sort of to begin to wrap things up. That's why I do the long-form interview. You know, when I was a young man, that's what we did. That's how TV used to be done. But not so much anymore. It'll be good to know there's going to be a Navy ship named after the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I would think that'll scare the hell out of the enemy, wouldn't it, Mr. Producer? Oh, my God, here comes the Ruth Bader Ginsburg. How many things by the government, ships or anything, have been named after Antonin Scalia? His death preceded hers. I guess none. Well, George Mason University Law School. I didn't say that. Federal. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the border. The Biden administration is gutless. It takes responsibility for nothing. It's claiming the CDC is responsible for lifting this Title 42 that Trump put in place to prevent people from coming into the country just in case they have COVID and spreading it. Biden stopped testing people. The borders are wide open. And we have record numbers of people coming in here illegally, and we don't even know who they are, let alone whether or not they have a virus or some other communicable disease. This is how you destroy citizenship. This is how you destroy a culture. This is how you destroy a country. But the left is all in. Media Matters, Mediaite, the Democrat Party, they think this is fantastic because they hate America. They hate America, which means they hate you. I don't care what your race is and so on. They just hate you. You know, sometimes it doesn't need to be explained. It's just a fact. And you can see it by their actions. Joe Biden doesn't talk about America like he's proud of this country. He's proud to be president of you, the American people. He trashes you. He trashes the country. He embraces the perverse. He embraces the idiotic, the radical. That's what he does. Because that's what he is, when you come to think about it, in so many ways. But the border is going to be wide, wide open now. We've been warned about it. Everybody's being warned about it. But it doesn't matter. Joe Biden doesn't care. Should Joe Biden serve his full 4 years, because I don't think the 25th Amendment will be triggered and so forth, we could have as many on his watch as 8 million new illegal aliens on top of the 20 million who are already here. That's bigger than a lot of states. And according to our government, those people are counted for purposes of representation. Did you know that? We've talked about that. Because they misinterpret the Constitution. The framers were very, very, focused on citizenship and Americanism and so forth and so on. But the American Marxists and their toadies on the court and elsewhere, they look for excuses, ambiguities to exploit. And so now everybody's to be counted, whether you're here legally, illegally, a citizen, a non-citizen, whether you're, never mind. So you get the point. Now, this is going to overload school districts. It's going to overload law enforcement. Do you notice that the Trotskyites in the Democrat Party, Ayach, Presley, Bush, Tlaib, Omar, and about 20 others, you notice they don't much talk about eliminating the Border Patrol or ICE anymore, do they, Mr. Producer? Because they don't have to. They've neutralized them. Illegally and unconstitutionally. They have directed them not to comply with federal law. They have directed them not just to look the other way, but to assist the illegal behavior. They have threatened them when they've tried to enforce the law. What happened to those two men on horseback? What happened to their careers when they lied about what those men were doing? They were not whipping people. How dare they stand up and try and stop the illegal immigration from taking place? No more talk about the cages. Oh, there's cages, lots of kids in cages. No more talk about the sex trafficking, because, you know, Joe Biden 412 years ago was for the Violence Against Women's Act. I guess we'll have to change the name of that, because we don't know what women mean. The Violence Against Birthing People Act. But if we can include men in birthing people, I don't even understand how we can use birthing people anymore, Mr. Producer. It's so complicated. There used to be a man with this and a woman with that. Now it's just, and I know Bob Iger says it's just not so anymore. And he would know. Flooding of foreigners into the country. A nation simply cannot sustain this sort of thing. Even Jeh Johnson said so, the Secretary of DHS under Obama. And he's shocked by what's taking place, too. Now, the Democrats, because there's a midterm election, we want a wall. The phony moderates, you know, all of a sudden, we want a wall and we need to secure the border. And then if they win re-election, they vote for Pelosi, they vote and support Biden, they do whatever they want them to do. But they're good at issuing press releases at election time. Throw these bastards out, folks. There's no such thing as a moderate Democrat. What's that guy's name? Heimer Schmidt, what's his name up there in northern New Jersey? Godheimer. Gottheimer Schmidt. Well, his name is not my name, too. That little jerk needs to be thrown out. I notice we haven't heard from him lately. I started the can-do bipartisan committee here in the Democrat. Shut up, you little idiot. But they're all over the place. All the phony moderates of the Democrat Party. There are no moderates in the Democrat Party, especially in the House. They vote right down the line. Right down the line. Oh, you hear what they voted today? To legalize pot. I already thought they were on pot. They have to legalize, and most of them voted to legalize pot because they use it, probably. Here, eat these brownies. But anyway, that's what they're busy doing, not securing the border. Now, Joe Biden, as I've said over and over again, should be impeached for this. Impeached. These are impeachable offenses. Although I haven't seen it at the Wall Street Journal editorial page, not that I'm there often. I haven't seen it at National Review. I was there today because of an excellent piece by David Harsanyi. But I haven't seen it. I haven't heard Kingsinger. Real head case. Or Dizzy Lizzie Cheney. I haven't heard her mention this. She doesn't seem very concerned about it. No. How about Whitless, the former governor of New Jersey? No. How about the Cape May Orca? Chris Christie? No, not a word. Who else among the... Romney. Nothing. Nothing. Doesn't Romney look like the type of guy who's often staring in a mirror, Mr. Producer? Definitely, right? Always has a comb in his back pocket. Probably a little dabble, do you? All right, I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, over at the Blaze, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the U.S. government's top expert on COVID-19. Was privately urged by former CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield to vigorously investigate both the lab leak and natural origins theories of virus in early 2020, only to then exclude Redfield from discussions with world-renowned virologists and wage a PR campaign denouncing the lab leak theory as a conspiracy, according to an investigative report. The explosive report from, of all places, Vanity Fair, reveals new details of how Fauci and former National Institutes of Health Director Dr. Francis Collins strongly pushed back against scientists who raised legitimate questions about the origins of the virus, questions that could implicate the NIH's financial support for the then non-governmental group EcoHealth Alliance and risky bat virus research in China. I'm proud to say we helped break this story way back when on Life, Liberty, and Levin. The Blaze continues by analyzing more than 100,000 internal EcoHealth documents, interviewing 5 former staff members, and speaking with 33 other sources. Vanity Fair's Catherine Ebon uncovered how EcoHealth Alliance operated in a world of murky grant agreements, flimsy oversight, and the pursuit of government funds for scientific advancement, in part by pitching research of steeply escalating risk. A report delves deep. That should be deeply, into EcoHealth Alliance, showing how the group's president, Peter Daszak, spent years wooing Fauci, at times literally at D.C. cocktail parties, to win federal support for gain-of-function studies at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the Chinese lab central to the lab leak hypothesis of COVID-19's origins. Fauci, in turn, worked with Daszak, Collins, and other top virologists, to lead a well-documented campaign discrediting the lab leak theory, all the while never being completely transparent about their potential conflicts of interest should the theory prove true. Under Fauci's tenure at NIAID, EcoHealth Alliance received a $3.7 million federal grant in 2014 to study the potential for a deadly new coronavirus to emerge from wild bats in China. The group partnered with Wuhan Institute of Virology, sub-awarding the lab $600,000 in federal funds, your tax dollars, to collect virus samples from bats and analyze them. In early 2020, the deadly COVID-19 pandemic would be traced back to a seafood market in Wuhan, China, near where the lab is located. Early analysis suggested the SARS-CoV-2 virus was 96.2% similar to a previously discovered bat coronavirus, which led many scientists to believe the most likely origin for COVID-19 was that it hopped from bats to humans, possibly through an intermediary animal. However, an animal host for SARS-CoV-2 was never discovered. And unique features of the virus led some of the world's top virologists, including those associated with Fauci, to raise the possibility that it was laboratory engineered. The fundamental questions concerning COVID-19 are whether EcoHealth Alliance paid for gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, experiments that make viruses deadlier and more infectious to humans, and whether Chinese scientists, either with federal funding from EcoHealth Alliance or on their own, engineered the SARS-CoV-2 virus before it somehow escaped the lab and caused a global pandemic, killing more than 6 million people. After the pandemic began, U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Dr. Robert Redfield asked those questions, quote, "I personally felt it was biologically plausible that SARS-CoV-2 sent from bats to humans through an intermediate animal and became one of the most infectious viruses to humans," he told Vanity Fair. As the Chinese government worked to cover up the spread of COVID-19 in the late 2019 and through the new year, Trump administration officials desperately sought to learn how the pandemic started. Redfield was aware of a 2015 gain-of-function study funded by EcoHealth Alliance and published by Wuhan lab scientist Dr. Xin Qixi with University of North Carolina virus expert Dr. Ralph Barrick. The study had shown it was possible to manipulate a SARS-like bat coronavirus in a lab believed showed the danger that such a virus could naturally evolve to threaten humans. The gain-of-function experiments were carried out in Barack's laboratory in North Carolina. But the Chinese scientists had learned his techniques. Redfield questioned whether scientists in Wuhan had gone on to carry on gain-of-function experiments. So Redfield's the real hero here. He was pressing the case. According to Vanity Fair, Redfield brought his concerns to Fauci in mid-January 2020. He also shared them with Jeremy Farrar, the director of the UK mega charity Wellcome Trust, and Tedros Adhanom, blah, 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 director general of the World Health Organization. His message was, we had to take the lab leak hypothesis with extreme seriousness, quote unquote. What happened next is scandalous. A Freedom of Information Act request by BuzzFeed News revealed that on February 1, 2020, at 12:30 a.m., Fauci emailed NIAID Principal Deputy Director Hugh Aklos a copy of the 2015 gain-of-function study and wrote, quote, "Hugh, it is essential that we speak this a.m. Keep your cell phone on," unquote. He told him to read the paper and wrote, "You will have tasks today that must be done," unquote. Later that day, Ferraro organized a conference call with 11 top international virologists, including Fauci and NIH Director Francis Collins, to discuss what was known about the virus. Astonishingly, Redfield was excluded from the call. According to Vanity Fair, he was not even told it was happening. The person in charge of the agency leading the U.S. government's response to COVID-19 pandemic was kept out of the discussions about the origins of the virus after asking Fauci and Farrar to seriously investigate all possibilities. The conference call was held, quote, "in total confidence," unquote. And the details of the discussion remain shrouded in secrecy. What is known is that before the call, some of the participants, such as Dr. Christian Anderson, a virologist at Scripps Research, had noted that some features of SARS-CoV-2 potentially looked engineered. Anderson told Fauci in an email that several experts who had analyzed the virus find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. In other words, they were calling into question the idea that this jumped from a bat to something else, to a human. And this story says there was a massive cover-up. Massive cover-up! I'll be right back.
Free America on the Mark Levin Show. Call now, 877-381-3811.
It's a pleasure to have Florida Senator Rick Scott on the program. He's never been on this program, amazingly enough, that I can think of. Senator Scott, how are you, sir?
It is great to be on your program. Congratulations on all your success. It was great to see you the other night, and you did a great job.
Thank you, sir. Great pleasure. You're a very, very nice man, very, very nice to my family. Senator Scott, you have an agenda that you want the senators to run on, candidates you're supporting to run on. Would you give us a concise statement of what that agenda is?
Sure. You can go read it at rescueamerica.com, or you can text America to 22044. But here's what it is. The radical left is basically taking over this country. I think we have to have a plan to rescue this country. I'm a business guy. I built businesses all my life. Then I ran for governor with a plan. In my business life, I always had a plan. I think we have to have a plan for how we're going to turn this country around. We're going to get the majority in the House. We're going to get a majority in the Senate. But then what? What are we going to do? How are we going to govern? So we have got to be aggressive. We have got to be bold. We have got to change the direction of this country. And the only way you do it with a plan. So I put an 11-step plan, 128 policy points. Nobody's going to agree on all of them. But let's all start talking about it. And let's come together with what we're going to accomplish in November after we win.
This is very important because I hear some of your colleagues, I won't name them, so I won't put you on the spot. But they'll talk about, yeah, we need to win, and then we'll have bipartisanship. When we need to win, we'll govern right of center. You know, conservatives are sick of hearing this. In other words, we know that the left is very aggressive, and conservatives tend not to be. Give us like four or five items, major sort of umbrella items in this plan.
Yeah, look, here's where I look at it, little Mark. We can't just be a roadblock to all their bad stuff. We've got to be bold about what we're going to do. So it's some simple stuff. First off, I think every child should say the Pledge of Allegiance, salute the flag, and learn that this is the greatest country. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop asking people about their race or skin color on any government form. So we're supposed to judge people by their character, not the color of their skin. We've got to secure the border. I think we ought to secure the border, finish the wall. We ought to name it after President Trump. We've got to starve the Washington economy, stop socialism, grow America's economy. Mark, we just got Biden's budget. Stop and think about this for a second. In the last 20 years, we've seen a 16% increase in the number of people in this country, and we've seen a tripling of the size of our federal budget. Think about that. Who can pay for this? So I think we got to fight hard to make sure these elections are fair. We got to promote the American family. I mean, that's the best thing about our country is we have family. We grew up with families, and we got to take care of this country. We cannot help. I think all of us would like to help Ukraine or somebody's in trouble. How can you do it when you can't pay your own bills? So it's got 128 points. I am hell bent on making sure we have a plan. And I want to have a robust debate about what we're going to do. And then the moment we win the majority, let's start it up.
I agree 100%. Now, are the Republican leaders in the Senate, I'll speak of this sort of ambiguously, are they keen on this idea of running on your plan or running on this plan?
Well, first of all, I don't expect anybody to pick my plan and do exactly that way. But, you know, there's people that want to just say that, oh, yeah, Biden's really bad. He is. His inflation's really bad. It is. So let's just run against all their bad stuff. I don't think that's enough. I think if we run on exactly what we're going to do, guess what? Then we'll all be committed to do it, and we give people reason to vote for it. When I ran in 2010, nobody knew me in the state of Florida. My name ID was zero. I'd never run for office before. But I had a 7-step plan to turn the economy around in Florida. Our economy in 2010 was in the shambles. More people were leaving our state than moving in. And I think I got elected because they said, I don't know that guy at all. But you know what? He's got a plan. This other guy doesn't. I'm going to pick that guy. And what I was able to do is I had a very specific plan. We followed it. And we didn't barely meet our plan. We doubled, more than doubled our plan because we had a plan. So, no, not everybody's on board. Some people just want to say, let's just talk about how bad those guys are. But we can see time and time again, that's not enough. and we won't get anything done when we win. I'm hell-bent on getting something done. I mean, golly, these jobs are fleeting. Let's get something done for the American people. Look, the time is late for this country. The radical left controls the federal government, the media, academia, I mean, Hollywood. We have got to, we've got to say, no, we're stopping that. We're going to go down this path.
This is very, very important. And I'm glad to hear you say that. You know, Reagan had an agenda. Trump had an agenda. Yeah. Gingrich had an agenda. And you're saying, Rick Scott, now, look, I've got an agenda. It's an agenda. People can borrow from it, not use it, take some of it, and so forth. But we can't just run against the other guy. I think this is very, very important. So you have a mandate if you win.
Absolutely. Then what happens is once we win, people say, we've got to get this done. We've got our checklist. This is what we're going to do. So let's just go down our checklist. I don't want to finish a win, and then everybody says, well, what should we do now? No. We know what we should be doing now because we told people what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So I want to have a robust conversation, come to this. But think about it. We ought to welcome God into all aspects of our lives. We should do nothing other than promote family. We should never say, oh, yeah, we're going to treat you better if you don't have a family. No. We ought to treat everybody the same, but it's better if you can build a family. It's better for our country. And by the way, why are we taking all your money at the federal level and doing things that ought to be done locally or at the state? I mean, we ought to have term limits, not just for Congress, but let's have it for the federal bureaucrats. I mean, they think it's their country. No, it's our country.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you were governor, and I guess Iger was CEO for a very long time, did they conduct themselves this way? I mean, I know they were left, but this is sort of hard to believe,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. You know, stop and think about it. How many Americans think that their schools ought to teach children about sex rather than the parents? It's a parental responsibility. They're my kids. I should teach them these things. And so what we passed in Florida simply said, for young children, you're not going to talk about sex with them. We shouldn't be talking about sex at school with them.
No.
We should let the parents do it. So I don't get why Disney did that. On top of that, why Disney went out there and shot a movie where there's slave labor and talked about doing it there? I mean, Communist China wants to destroy us. I think one part of my plan is we have got to completely decouple from our relationship with Communist China. They want to destroy us. Why are we buying anything from Communist China? Think about what we're doing right now. We were all okay with not buying Russian vodka. Are we going to be okay with not buying our pharmaceuticals if all of them are made in China? We got to stop today. We got to say to ourselves every day, and Americans can do this by themselves. Forget government for a second. Every day you can say, where's that made? I'm not going to buy it. If it's made in China, I'm not buying it because I know that money's going to go to the Chinese government. And then when they go out and invade Taiwan, which they've said they're going to do, we're going to say, well, I don't want to do business with them. And then all these companies are going to say, well, you have to because that's where we get all of our stuff. No, we cannot do that to ourselves. They want to destroy us.
Well, you sound really solid. I mean, what you're arguing for is really good. You were an excellent governor in Florida as well. And now, by the way, I'm a resident of Florida, so you're my senator. But it's a pleasure.
Give me your advice.
Get to know.
I'm working
What's
hard
that?
Every day. Give me
you
your
don't
advice.
Need my
I'm
advice.
Working hard every day.
You sound fine. But I want to thank you and keep up the fight because I know there's a lot of static in Washington, D.C., but it sounds like a very, very fine plan. Where do people go again if they want to look at it?
You can go to rescueamerica.com or you can text America at 22044. Give me your ideas. Right? Let's talk about this. Let's figure it. And when people run and say, what are you going to do? When you win, you want my vote. What are you going to do? Tell me what you're going to do. Because it's my vote you want.
All right, Rich, let's put that up. RescueAmerica.com up there. Senator, thank you. Have a great weekend, sir.
Thanks, Mark. Tell everybody hi.
All right. He's a very nice guy. I mean, I'd never met him before. I mean, I met him in passing once, but we sat next to each other. I very much appreciated it. Do I have any more commercials left? We'll be right back.
Mark Levin. We'll be right back.
folks, don't forget, we have a great show on Sunday. Two great guests and a fantastic format. And I think you're going to enjoy my monologue as well. So that's Life, Liberty, and Levin, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Fox News Channel. If you can't watch it live, I understand, but you can always DVR it. So set your DVR as we speak, and you can set it to record it every Sunday night. It's becoming a... What is it becoming? It's becoming sort of a regular for a lot of people who come up to me. People come up to me when I'm eating or on the street, come up to my wife and me and so forth, and they'll say, I never miss your Sunday show. Yeah, but it's becoming sort of a Sunday night event. And it's very cool to me because you're sort of winding down your weekend. You're getting ready for the next day, the Monday, the weekday, and it's the kind of show I want to do that kind of winds down your weekend and then gets you ready for the week. We're in this together, and so I hope you'll watch us every Sunday, this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox, and just lock it in. Look, I know, my family and I talk about this, too. I know about how crazy things are getting, and I know how upsetting and frustrating this is, and I know you feel like you can't do anything about it, but you can. First of all, you're an army of one. But understand that we're all an army of one, and together we're an army of tens of millions. But by that I mean, as a mother or father or grandparent, you have a lot of say in what goes on in your household. You have a right to show up at your school board meetings. You have a right to contact your senator and congressman. Those of you, 1.3 million of you, have a copy of American Marxism. Turn to Chapter 7. Refresh yourself. What's in there? We've made a big difference, and we'll continue to do so. We can't roll over for this. What's going on in this country is not the majority view, and it's not a sane view. A republic cannot survive this. So there are different ways to fight for liberty and to fight for your family. Peaceful ways, legitimate ways, and we need to participate in it. So I hope you'll check out the opportunities that are available out there and embrace them, including just talking to your family. Here we go, America, in honor of you. America. The week is officially over. The weekend has officially begun, meaning the government is shut down. Can you imagine? Please don't forget 8 p.m. Eastern this Sunday. Let's all join together. Life, Liberty, and Levin. That would be a wonderful thing. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, you truckers out there. Thank you. And our fellow freedom fighters in Ukraine. We stand with you. God bless you. Good night, Spritey. Good night, Griffey. Good night, Pepsi. Good night, Smokey. Good night, Zelda. Good night, Gigi. Good night, Indy. And good night, Barney. We miss you all.